Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Uplifting Community Talk Show. And I'll tell you, we have a really good guest for you today. And this is the talk show is with John and Ms. J. But before we go any farther, I would like to ask Ms. J if she would mind taking the time to bring our guests on.
Absolutely. First of all, thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. I am so excited to have Rashonda, I always call her Rashida, but her name is Rashonda Castell on the show. She's a founder of an organization of Divine Divas Sisterhood. And what they do is motivate single women. And it's a great organization, and I'm really excited to have her on because this week we celebrated International Women's Day. And it was about sisterhood and womanhood and our contributions. So I'm excited for her to be on the show today to share her contributions for our community. But before we get started, Rashonda, tell them a little bit about you, the audience, so they get a little feel about you before we get started.
Okay, my name is Rashonda Castile. I'm from Long Beach, California, by way of Compton, California. I am a single mother of five. I was brief about my background. I was married since I was 21. Got divorced at 30. The marriage kind of fell, not because of personal issues, but we separated because of health, a lot of health issues. So he's not only not in my life, but he is blind. He is disabled. He's on dialysis. So I have a different approach to women. My relationship didn't end because of domestic violence. It basically ended because of health issues. And I'm a single mother. I have a teenager son who really doesn't understand that for itself. So it kind of helped me to kind of reach out to other women in my area and surrounded to come up with a creative way where we can kind of build a support system to support our children who have missing fathers for different reasons.
And that's pretty awesome. You know, because, you know, as we were speaking earlier, it's a fact now. That's the modern family, you know, pretty much now, is either a single mother or a single father. And and it used to be a time that it wasn't even single dads, and, you know, and now that's becoming way more popular than single mom. So,
definitely.
It is. So for you to create a platform for your community and for other women and their kids, I think it's pretty awesome. What are some of the things that you do in your program, and what are some of the things you offer as far as support, as far as the mothers and the children?
Well, as far as support, we have bi-weekly or monthly meetings. We just get together, we talk about some of everything, some of anything that really goes across our mind. We kind of communicate and talk to each other because you really don't know what the next person has been through or experienced unless you really talk about it. So that's one of the way I kind of helped me understand that. I always felt like, well, since I was in a relationship and I didn't get beat up physically, I never got abused. But in my meetings with the organization, it helped me understand that I was being verbally abused, but I wasn't being physically abused. So I kind of thought in my mind it was two different things when it was really one of the same.
Absolutely. That is a great point. Because, and you know, they say that verbal abuse it takes longer to heal from than the physical. So, you know,
right.
The fact
yes.
that you recognize that for yourself, I think that made you, in my opinion, an open vessel for other women because you could spot it and you knew how to approach
right.
them with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
that
I kind of felt like in the beginning, I was like, well, I'm not getting beat up and I'm not getting punched on. So, the, you know, the, what you guys are talking about, it does really affect me. And then, you know, the
yeah.
more I kind of like let people in, the more I discussed and heard what they were saying. And, you know, it was like so close to home, but all I kept thinking, well, I didn't get hit though. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
you didn't necessarily have to get hit physically to get a black eye verbally.
That's right.
So, it, yeah. So that's how I felt. And from there, just God just opened up a lot of different doors. So what I try to do is at the very least quarterly or twice a month, I try to put on event. So for the last 4 years, I've been putting on a mother and son dance, which I invite positive, influential men in the community to come out and speak life into these young men from a single family household and have some mentoring woman or a personality to come out, you know, and give life to women again and let us know, not necessarily let us know, but, you know, at the same time, even myself, sometimes I need somebody to minister to me.
Hello.
That's right.
It's kind of hard sometimes always being the strong one and, you know, always being the one that people can call. I need someone who I can call myself. So, you know, I invite these ladies. But it's really been a great opportunity. And actually last year was a year we decided that we're going to open the organization up to single men because a lot of single men reached out to me last year and said, well, you know, do you have anything like this for us?
Oh.
So I'm like, you know, I don't have anything, but we're going to create something. Because even at the end of the day, because those single men can be somewhat of a blessing to the men that we're raising.
Yes.
Because you have
yes.
a single men raising daughters and us as single women raising sons, we can collaborate and help each other.
Exchange information. Because they know how to
yeah.
be a man, you know how to be
right.
a woman. And no matter how much, and me and John always have this conversation, we talk about kids a lot, but no matter how great a woman you are, you can never teach your son to be a man.
Never.
You can teach him to be a good person.
Never.
But there's some things that
yeah.
men, it's the man thing.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm learning that God blessed me with to have a positive male influence in my kids' life at this time. So I'm learning how to shut up and just, you know, stay in my
yeah.
lane. Because I have to remind
mm-hmm.
myself all this, you know, he's not going to do anything that's going to hurt him. You know what I'm saying? It might be uncomfortable, but he's not going to hurt him.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
and,
that's
and
as women,
thing.
We tend to kind of want to nurture and coddle. And then, like, that's not what he needs.
But you know,
right.
it was something someone said that I remember is that when you're talking to a young adult, well, then you have to put your man voice on.
Yeah.
And when you're talking to, and for a woman, she has to put her woman voice on, meaning that
yeah.
you talk to him like a man, you know,
right.
and the woman got to talk to him like a woman. Is because, you know, you don't want to, when you're talking to him to do good, well, then you don't want them to think that, you know, well, I'm your friend. You know, it's business,
right.
you know, it's business. It's not like, and you got
right.
to talk their language, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we can't be that mother or that father to them because, you know, who they rebel against? Mom and dad.
That's exactly who they rebel against.
You know,
well,
and
you
so, you know, I always remember that. But I really like what you're doing. That is a blessing.
Yeah.
For your community, really. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. And what it does is it connects you to people that you don't know. And people don't know you. They see you driving up and down the street, and they don't know your situation or your story. But what I try to do is open it up to the community. We're going to be doing a mother and daughter's brunch on April 8th. And that event is to, you know, to open up, you know, to let people in the community know that the organization is here. But not only that, you know, speak life into these little girls, because a lot of people don't realize, it's like, yeah, you have these little girls, but these little girls going to grow up one day to be young teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to grow up to be young women. And then at the same time, it's like, then these are going to be the same women chasing my four sons.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I'm saying? So you have to really, I have to say, okay, well, what can I do for the community, not only for the single mothers with the sons, but for the daughters, and to kind of like speak life into them, because somewhere along the way, not just saying one particular person, but somewhere along the way, we dropped the ball. There's no more big mamas. There's no more grandmothers.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's
now.
Nobody
right.
You know, making these people hold accountable. You know, I haven't seen it in a long time, so I still have my 90-year-old grandmother around, and she's always talking about, well, this is what you need to be talking to them about. This is what you need to tell them. So I said, you know what, I'm going to take what I've learned and what she's still teaching me and telling me, and we're going to definitely apply this and give it to the community. Because we don't have a whole lot of examples, and the examples that we do have, the options is kind of slim to kind of choose from.
Yeah,
right.
We have social media and everything making, you know, all the social media stuff, the internet, these phones. All a kid got to do is pick up your phone, and they can get access to anything that you don't want them to get away around.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have to be around a computer. They can just get your phone for 10 minutes and go to the bathroom or go somewhere for a hot second and learn too much.
This is
right.
True.
And
you know,
Rashonda.
Sorry, John. I apologize. I apologize. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
One thing I took notice, Rashonda, is that in the majority, I would say the majority of the households in the United States, if you're speaking of the poor communities, you know, the majority of the households, if it's a male and a female living in that household, the majority of the time, the male is there and the kids is not his. You know,
that's true. That's very true.
And
my situation, four of the children are mine, and one of the children, one of my son, we have a son together. But that's very, that seems to be very true.
Well,
why, I don't know.
Well, what it is, with my observation, is like, you know, the kids kind of like rebel against their step parents. They don't look at a lot of time that happened. So the step parents is the one that have to really sit there and try to talk to the children and get the children together, because a kid hurt. I know a kid hurt when they living in a household with somebody else and they don't have their parents in there.
I'm going through that similar situation. I have a 13-year-old, but like I said, his father's been in his life his whole life, and he's been blind for the last 4 years. So he knows his father. He knows the situation. But for me to be in another relationship, sometimes I feel and I see him rebel. Like I was talking about my stepdaughter, she's 4, but she rebels against me. Like you said, it's not my fault. It's, you know, it's her issue what she has with her mother. But I mean, these are things that I didn't even really pay attention to until like the last couple of years, because I had never experienced it before.
You know what, I'm going to piggyback on something you guys said. I'm going to back up. When we talking about step parents and coming into relationships, a lot of that is too because people move too fast in relationships.
Definitely.
A lot of times they don't develop relationships with the children before jumping into the relationship. We don't date anymore.
Right.
People go, I love you, okay, move in. There's no courting, there's no dating. And when you're dating a woman, you're dating her children.
Definitely.
And the fact that people do not date anymore has a big factor in how those relationships are. You know, I was blessed to have step-parents. I had good stepfathers. I had a good stepfather.
Yeah.
But my mother made sure that when he dated her, he dated us. Whether he liked it or not. you know,
exactly.
after she decided he was going
to
be
And most
man.
Likely he
That's
had to
true.
Like it because I know I'm not going to have nobody around my kids or around me that my kids don't like. Because, like, I grew up with a stepfather, and I used to always tell my mom what we liked about him and what we didn't like about him. And my mom had several different relationships, and I was like, you know, he not the one. He creepy. He strange. And sometimes she listened, and sometimes she didn't listen. But here it is years later, and I tell her some things, and she was like, well, I didn't know, and you didn't tell me. I was like, because you never gave me that opportunity. You never gave me a voice. So when it comes to my children, I want to hear exactly how you feel about Bozo the Clown, because you might see something in him that I don't see, because I'm so thirsty trying to be in a relationship or wrapped up in lust or whatever the situation is. We don't even allow our kids to speak anymore. And me in my situation, I always ask my kids, you know, what did he do? What did he say? You know, all that, because I need you guys to know that I have your best interest at heart, not just mine.
Absolutely.
Okay, I just want to let the audience know that you guys are listening to Uplifting Communities Talk Show with John and Ms. J, and our special guest is Ms. Rashonda Castillo.
Rashonda.
And if you guys want to... If you guys want to ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1 and I'll let you on. Okay, you can go ahead on, Ms. Castillo.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was just saying about as far as kids. Kids see and they pay attention to more than us adults. Because I remember being a kid and telling my mama, no, that ain't the one. Don't talk to him. Run. Sometimes she probably didn't understand it as a parent, like I said, being single, being lonely, just wanting to be in a relationship. But one thing that I've observed from me being a kid, you always have to listen to your children. You have to listen to your children, and you got to take sense with not, you know, you got to be a little bit wise, because sometimes kids can do things out of spite and for their own personal reasons. But at the end of the day, if your daughter or your son is saying that somebody's doing something to them and you're not listening to what they're saying and you're figuring that, you know, they're going to mess up your relationship or they're going to run your man away, you got the wrong mindset anyway as a mother.
That's
Absolutely.
Right. Well, we have someone on the line want to either ask a question or elaborate on something. Would you guys want to bring them on?
We can bring them on, but I'm going to shoot a question out really quick because it's important. I don't want to lose it. But, yes, bring them on. My question to you is, like, you talk about being thirsty because, you know, a lot of women are looking for love. You know, we as women love to be loved and love to give love. And so when you talk about being thirsty, I think sometimes there's not a balance there because the hunger a lot of us don't know how to take time to heal from relationships.
Right.
So when you talk about that, is it something in your program to redirect women's view on a good love, a healthy love?
You know, actually it isn't, but now that I think about it, you know, I can put something in that because if I back up a little bit, I can definitely say I know for a fact what it is to be thirsty, because before I even got out of my situation with my marriage 4 years ago, it's like the first thing my mind told me to do was to get him out of my way and find somebody else to replace it.
Right.
So what I did was I let that get out of my – it wasn't even out of my face all the way. And I put somebody in that place to fill that void. And I mean, I tell you, I drove from the skillet to the furnace to right onto the barbecue grill. And I mean, I felt it. I really felt it. And I really had to just sit back and allow God to just work in me for at least 3 years before I even got into another serious relationship or even start talking to anybody, because the way I felt before I had even let the ink dry on a divorce paper. Now here I am, I'm moving on, I'm doing me, you know, all in denial, you know, it was all out of denial. You know, and just being thirsty, the first person that said hi, I was like, hi back.
Yeah.
You know, trying to.
I know John has a caller, but that would be a good thing to implement. I'll talk to you about it. I got some ideas.
Okay.
But go ahead, John, with your caller.
Okay. Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, Mr. Brown, and hello, Miss J. This is Tony Breedlove. How are you both?
Oh, how you doing, Tony?
I'm very, very well. I'm very well. First, let me say you're doing a fabulous job, and I am very, very proud to be able to sit here and listen to this conversation today. Thank you for doing this show.
Thank you. Love you back.
And Jay, I miss you, girl. Miss you, girl.
I miss you too. We gotta call me. Call me. I'll call you. I got the same number.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to call in because I was listening, and this is a conversation that is very needed, and I think it is the cornerstone, and it is the antithesis of putting the family back together, because I think it starts with not only the parenting and step-parenting, but having an understanding when kids, when they're brought into situations and they don't have a voice. So I think it's a very important conversation, and I am just pleased that you're doing it.
Thank you very much. But to let you guys know who Ms. Tony Lovebreed is, she's the owner of Hot Topic Radio. And,
okay.
I mean, what a great show she has, too. So I would suggest you guys, you know, the listeners, is to tune into her show. It's called Hot Topic Radio. And y'all would love it. Matter of fact, I was on her show once before. And thank
you
for that.
Yes, you were. Yeah, but I'm just going to continue to listen. Yes, you did, Ms. J. You worked with me, girl.
Yes.
You worked.
I worked, baby. I always worked.
But I did want to call because I am so pleased at what you're doing. And if there's anything that I can do on my end to be of assistance to you, please do not hesitate to reach out. Continue to do what you're doing right now. And I just want to say blessings to Ms. Castile, and thank you for being
you.
On this show today.
Thank you so much.
All love
right.
you.
Love you, too. I'm going to go ahead and continue to listen.
Thank
okay.
you, Mama. Yeah, but you are doing a marvelous thing. You know, and the fact that you're going to bring single men in, and I know some single dads in L.A., so I'm going to send them over your direction.
Okay.
Because you're doing something that, like Tony brought up, that really needs to be done, and is a dialogue that needs to be, you know, talked about. We need to speak about
yes.
it. And I think a lot of times we get so sidetracked with just surviving that we leave out life tactics. You know, we leave out lessons
right.
and things that we can pass down to other people. The other day, you know, take up subject just to that bit, I apologize. Somebody asked me to do something. I just wasn't in the mood. And when I did it, though, it was life-changing for me. And then, you know,
right.
so sometimes we got to step out our own way,
right.
you know, to be a blessing yeah. to others, you know. So I really applaud you. Like John and Tony both said, you're doing an awesome job. And I'm glad that, you know, we're friends. So I'm really proud.
Oh, yes.
Thank
I
you.
Mean,
I'm
love
excited,
it.
Too. Yeah, because it's like a lot of, like, even on my show, too, because as you know, I have a radio show as well, and we talk about so many different things. People, like, people don't talk about that. That's the problem. We need to talk about things that are going on in everyday life. In
That's
everyday
right.
life,
and you know,
there's a single woman somewhere who has aspirations. She has a dream. She has a vision. On top of that, she has kids. So it's like, how do you find who you are, and you know, and at the same time operating your gifts and your talents as a single parent.
That's
right.
So this is something that, you know, we have a program called Women Who Win. It's a program where we put together last year of just entrepreneur women who need somewhere to start. Basically how I started, and then, you know what I'm saying, and building up a platform for other women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have authors. We have all these different women who have these different titles, but they just don't know how to begin because a lot of times it's like they need that extra push so they can get out of their comfort zone or they can get out of that feeling where they feel like it's just them and their kids against the world. Because I used to feel like that, like nobody cares about me or my kids. And then one day I had to realize, like, people do care about me and my kids, but if I don't care enough about me and my kids to get up and make a change, what do I expect?
Exactly. The one thing you said that was really powerful to me, because I waited till my children was grown, because I kept saying I was a mother first.
Right.
I got all these degrees, and I did everything I can do with them, but I didn't do nothing major for myself until my children were grown. And the fact that I could have started way sooner if I would have had an organization or a group like that that supported that, that dream. You know what I'm saying? So
definitely.
I did that because we are mothers first. You know,
yeah, people
and
always say, well, how do you do all that with those kids?
Yes.
It's like, what I do is, well, as my kids grow, I grow. Because one day the kids going to be grown and gone, and I'm going to be starting from ground zero trying to figure out how do I put the pieces back because I got empty nest syndrome.
Yep.
Now, I don't know what to do because I'm so wrapped up at first being a mother, but at the same time, charity starts at home and it spreads abroad, and my home is me, my temple. Then the spread abroad becomes to my children, then to my community. I cannot starve me to try to save the nation.
I have to make sure
I have everything that I need so I can be a positive, influential, motivated parent to want to live. Because you can, a lot of women that I know, they say, well, I'm going to wait till my kids get 18 and I'm going to start writing me a book. Well, why wait till your child get 18 and he's 7 years old right now and you're going to write a book?
And you know, that's really so true. A lot of people do say that. My friend Jill Diamond Taylor, she used to have a workshop, a goal setting workshop every year. And when I'm home, I go. And one thing she used to say is she used to put these envelopes in front of us, you know, and one says Bill, one says myself, you know, whatever, and savings. So she used to ask, what one do you pay first? I said, my bills, because my kids got to eat. They got to have. She said, no, you always pay yourself first.
Yeah.
And that threw me off because I was like,
pay
yourself
first because the kid, because guess what? The kids going to eat. They're going to eat. They're going to have everything that they're supposed to have because you're the mother. That's your natural instinct.
Exactly.
But
it's
like, you got to feed you. Like, even when you're in an airplane, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Put your mask on first. Because if you can't survive, you don't got the strength. How are you going to take care of that kid?
That's right.
If you're not in a good place mentally, spiritually, psychologically, you're not in a good place to be able to take care of no kid. Better yet, help yourself.
Absolutely right. That's so true.
Well,
and, you know, we have
anyway,
to love ourselves first.
Well, anyway, we got we have a minute and 45 seconds left on the show, and I'm going to ask Ms. J to close us out.
All right.
Wow. Now, that really went fast. Well, first of all, again, I'm so shocked. I don't know what to say. No, but first of all, thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate it. Thank you, Tony. Love you. Mwah. And girlfriend, I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad that
you
came on the show. I'm so excited about where you're going. Anytime you got updates, please feel free to come back to me and John. I'll post your information. But before we close out, we're going to leave it on you. Give the audience something positive to start their week off with.
Myself? Well, first I want to tell people, you know, to be encouraged. And in life, you can't look for anybody to give you permission. You got to take it by force. And you have to always remind yourself to clap for yourself. Nobody's going to clap for you. Nobody's going to give you permission to go. You just got to know that it's your time and ask God to order your stuff and push forward.
Hello.
And be encouraged.
With that said, John, it's on you.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I can top that, but I can give it a good shot. Well, number one, and my shot is, thank you so much for coming on this talk show. We needed
you. You're very welcome.
You know, we really, really,
and
really
I may have you guys
this.
On my show in a couple of weeks or whatever. We can finish this off.
Okay. Oh, that
we are
that
there,
sounds
baby.
Good.
We are there.
So that's all you have to do is give us a call, you know, and I'll be more than happy to go on your show. But
all right.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rashonda, okay, for coming on the show. And with that, I would say good night to everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.